You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Bank Holiday Monday, the 26th of August. And we've got the usual busy day of action. And you can join me, John Gibby, Kevin O'Malley and Andy Gibson for the racing from Southall, Epsom, Chepstow, Cartmel and Ripon in the afternoon. We've also got a meeting at Downpatrick, but I'm likely to be able to bring that to you live on Racing Radio, owing to how much racing we've got taking place in the afternoon. But join us on Racing Radio on the William Hill website or on the app. It's a 1:50pm start for all of that quality action. But here on the podcast, as I've already mentioned, my name's John Gibby and I'm joined by Lord John Budden. Lord Budden, how are you?
I'm in very good shape, John. Delighted to be here, and some really entertaining racing yesterday, Saturday, and ahead during the week.
Yeah, well, let's start off by taking a look back at Saturday. And actually, in general, of course, we saw the conclusion for another year of York's Ebor Festival. Did you enjoy the Ebor meeting this year, John?
Yes, I did enjoy it. I thought it was excellent, competitive, and the high-grade races were very exciting indeed. I was a little bit disappointed that Ella Quam didn't actually quite win the Judd Monte. A little bit unlucky, I think, in the closing stages. If he got a clear run, he would certainly have finished a bit closer. But generally speaking, tremendous. The Nunthorpe was great. I'm very pleased that Batash won. I think it's interesting, possibly the fact that he didn't stay overnight. Now, Nicky Richards and his father, Gordon, always said they didn't like taking their horses down to a track like Cheltenham, shall we say, on the night before. Mm. They tended to go on the morning, early in the morning, and their horses used to run much better when they did. It just occurred to me that Batash had, in fact, been in the York stables both times previously for the Nunthorpe. This time, he left on the morning of the race, and there we are. It could make quite a bit of difference, but it's great to see him win.
I did think that was interesting as well, because going into the race, you obviously had that concern about what he'd done in it the previous 2 years, but I mean, it's not easy to say now, having seen what he's done in the end, but on paper should be a track that should suit him well, and we've finally seen him to good effect on Friday.
Yes, and I'm pleased he won, because undoubtedly he is the top sprinter in the UK.
Well, let's look at Saturday now, and we'll start off by having a chat about the Ebor itself. And why don't we listen back, John, to what happened in the closing stages of this year's Ebor.
Mustajir and True Self out in the centre. Red Galileo burrowing through against the rail. Desert Skyline staying on behind them. Ben Vracky is one pace. It's Mustajir in front as they head for the last furlong. He's a length and a half clear. Red Galileo is still finishing off very strongly on the near side. But it's Mustajir, a horse in a million, who takes the Sky Bet Ebor.
So that's Mustajir winning the Ebor. It was an interesting one, this, John. It was a race that was kind of dominated by those who were not very strongly fancied, but I suppose kind of the next tier down in the betting. Quite a few of those who were right near the top of the betting were a little bit disappointing.
They were more than a little bit disappointing, yeah. In my view, John. It was a bookmaker's race rather than a punter's race, I think, when the result was actually produced. I don't think there was a horse in single figures inside the first five or six, and certainly two of the well-fancied horses. The top weight Withhold probably had too much weight on his plate, but King's Advice was some disappointing, and one or two others. The Haggis horse, the Raheen House, was extremely disappointing. So you would have to say that the bookmakers benefited a bit. But it was great to see Mustard Gel winning in many ways. I've always been a follower of Ger Lyons, you know. I knew him quite well when he was a young jump jockey in the UK on the Northern Circuit. I knew what turned out to be his wife quite well, David Stevenson, who used to have lots of really good jumpers with Ninny Lungo. His younger daughter married Ger Lyons, and actually that sort of combination started him on the route to tremendous success in Ireland, because David and his wife sent over two or three really good young horses for Ger Lyons' first season as a licensed trainer. They did very well, and it started him off.
And he's had success here in the Ebor, which is obviously a great win there for the yard, and to have sent the horse over to race in one of the biggest handicaps of the year here in the UK. And some good efforts in behind by the likes of Red Galileo, Desert Skyline, who's been a little bit disappointing as a stayer at times, but ran well on Saturday, and Raymond Tusk as well.
Yes, Raymond Tusk a bit unlucky. KP picked him out in the paddock as looking outstandingly well. Yes, all those three ran really well, but when you think of it, the winner was fourth last year, and obviously it'd be high in Ger Lyons' sort of mind that it was back to York for the Ebor this year, and it's paid off, so well done to him.
A winner for Ger Lyons and Colin Keane in this year's Ebor in the form of Mr. Gere, who won it 16-1. I'm open it up a little bit more generally now, John, and just to ask you, in Saturday, of course, we had the good racing at York, we had some good racing at Goodwood as well. I thought that was a good card. What other performances caught your eye?
Well, I think Lawrence's and Shine So Bright in the City of York Stakes was a thrilling tussle, an example of really good riding by James Doyle on the winner. He clearly had decided to take on Lawrence and to right from the start, and PJ was aware of what's going on, and he was doing his very best over the slightly shorter trip to get Lawrence in front inside the last furlong, and just failed. I was so sad that Lawrence didn't win. There was a triumph too for KP at York. I've never known him be more confident about a nap. Now, it wasn't sort of 10-1 or 8-1 or something like that. It was a favourite, but my goodness me, he was really confident that Alligator Alley would win, Alligator Alley did win. Had to do it the hardest possible way because was bumped at the start and lost an enormous amount of ground, but showed tremendous pace in the closing stages and got up. At Goodwood, it was an excellent card. The Celebration Mile, I thought, was excellent, really. And we must mention, I think, in the evening, Joe Fanning at Redcar. Joe's been with us for a long time. He's one of the most able and talented and really highly respected and liked member of the jockeys' rooms. And my goodness me, to ride 2,500 winners in his career is tremendous. And I knew he'd got one more to go, and he got it at Redcar. I think he was probably quite pleased that he did get it at the Redcar. I remember him coming very early to ride as a jump jockey for Squeak Fairhurst, and he had one or two promising runs over the jumps for the Fairhurst stable, and then he got a very nasty fall at Sedgefield and he broke a number of bones, and when he went to hospital he was there for about 6 weeks, and he'd lost so much weight that there was no chance of him going jump jockey riding again, and he became an apprentice and in the end made a tremendous success of the job, and it's great to see him still with us.
And only the second rider still riding in the UK to have ridden 2,500 winners. So a great achievement there, Frankie Dettori being the other.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Frankie Dettori, Joe Fanning, they're two tremendous riders, and in very different ways, because Joe's one of the most retiring and quiet members of the weighing room you could possibly ask for, but a real charmer.
Well, that was Saturday. Lots going on, lots to dissect, but we just touched on some of the highlights there. Now let's turn our attention to Monday, and we've got some good racing coming up on Monday with it being a bank holiday. John, you've got two selections for us, and they both run at Epsom, and the first one running in the 3:05. This is a great sprint handicap, really, and we've got some of the better sprint handicappers that we really have running sometimes at the big festivals lining up here, the likes of Duke of Firenze, Blue de Vega, Sham Shon as well, all to look forward to. Queen of Desire is the one who heads the weights.
Yes, Queen of Desire heads the weight, and at least three of the runners in this contest, the 305 at Epsom, ran at York in the big 5 furlong handicap dash earlier in the week. They didn't do particularly well. I do think Duke of Firenze, though, is well worth thinking about for this race at Epsom. Epsom is his favourite track. I think that is correct to say. He has, in fact, run well at all kinds of different venues, but he's done particularly well at Epsom over his career. Now 10 years old, but David Griffiths doesn't seem to worry about age, and Duke of Firenze has run some very good races this year. Only beaten a few lengths in the dash, for example, when last seen here at Epsom. So I think he's got a major chance in this contest. And the other one, of course, is a William Hill Racing Radio family connection, really, because I do think Blue de Vega has got a big chance. It's ridden by young Fallon, who's having a tremendous battle at the top of the apprenticeship table with Sean Davies. Incidentally, nice to see Sean Davies back in the saddle, back with the winner yesterday after that very heavy fall at the Knavesmire earlier in the week. Could be a great battle between those two. I thought Blue de Vega ran very well, owned, of course, by Tom Morley's mother, at Chelmsford last time out. And I think any improvement on that run, or even a repeat, is going to make him very hard to beat. I narrowed it down to those two, what you might call old and young, Duke of Firenze and Blue de Vega. And I'm going to go for Blue de Vega, despite my loyalty for Duke of Firenze.
Blue de Vega, the pick then for Lord Budden in the 305 at Epsom. And your other selection that also runs at Epsom in the very next race, the Amateurs Derby.
Yes, this used to be a really highlight of the Bank Holiday Monday programme. It was sponsored for a long time by Moët and Chandon. It's now known, I think, as the Amateur Riders Derby, which loosely is what it used to be referred to, but the title is actually that. Interesting race tomorrow, and we've got one or two of the really good amateur riders in action, and the first of those comes, in fact, with the top one in the list, Misty Rock. Misty Rock is trained by John Quinn, and he's been ridden by Jamie Codd. Now, those of us of a certain age will remember Jamie Codd winning a big race at the Cheltenham Festival on character building for John Quinn. That was quite a few years ago now, and then of course went on to run in the Grand National. Jamie Codd won on the top, but Misty Rock's done very little at the current moment. Last time out over hurdles, so I think Jamie will have to be in really good form to do that. I do like Allegiant. Allegiant is also a William Hill Racing connection, very much so. Allegiant carries the Morley colours, and Allegiant is being ridden by Patrick Milman, James Milman's younger brother, who was having a tremendous season last year as an amateur and has been in very good form again this year. And this horse was a really comfortable winner last time out. He won by 4 lengths going away. It was a slightly lesser grade, but nevertheless, I think Allegiant has got a major chance of winning this particular race. The North are represented by Dance King. He won the Cumberland Plate a couple of years ago, but has not run particularly well recently, and was well beaten last time out at Ponte. And then Simon Walker. I used to always go for Simon Walker when he was riding for my nap. I haven't done so this season, possibly correctly, because the champion amateur for many years has not had his best season so far. He's on Say No More, a horse who's won over this course and distance distance before and could well go, you know, pretty close this time. But I'm in fact going to go with the Milman selection here, Patrick Milman, to win on Allegiant and for the William Hill Radio Connection.
Allegiant then, the pick for John in that 3:40 at Epsom. Yeah, and that's just two of the races we've got taking place at Epsom, of course, where around the rest of the country as well. So do join us on Racing Radio, a 1:40 p.m. start. And join us tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. And John, thanks for being with us today.
No, lovely, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.